the object here. We're touching on Obadiah right before the break. And I also, you know, you hear these creeps talk about this, especially this Harari creep. And what's his name? Noel Harari, this little sodomite, the Sabbatean Zionist piece of dreck, okay, their philosophical advisor. Oh, the Bible's just for women and children. That's their thing. Well, you know what? Yeah, it's for women and children. It exposes you, doesn't it, you imposters? Because the whole lineage of the Bible is all patriarchal, and the only way you're transferred as a Jew or have a right to return to Israel is if your mother was a Jew. So tell me, Mr. Harari, how can you be the people of the book, you imposter little lying piece of crap, just like the rest of them, okay? Obadiah is part of that. It's in the Old Testament. It's only a page and a half. Basically, it's the downfall of Esau, Edom. If you've never read it, take a few minutes and go back and look it up. You'll have a hard time finding it, because just a page and a half, it's a little hard to find, okay? But you go in there and read it. You go up to one of these creeps, and you tell them, Obadiah. And you watch the blood drain out of their face for a book that's for women and children. Right. Sam, who else we got? We got a few in the queue, I think, don't we? Paul in California. We may have spoken with Paul before. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Good, good. I heard a couple of things that prompted me to call. First of all, Phil Marsh.
Yeah.
He used to live, not more than, I think, 6 or 7 miles from
is
my
that
house.
Really? What part of the country was he from?
I don't know where he's from, but he had a house in San Jose, and I visited one time because I saw some of his literature, and he was having some meeting at his house, you know, the Pilot Connection Society.
That's what it was called, the Pilot Connection. Yeah. Exactly correct.
Yeah, so this back in the 90s sometime, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, I never knew what happened to him, you know, in terms of, I didn't really need him.
You know, here's what happens, and this is what I wonder about people like David Straight and Antoine Wright, honestly, is my experience with these creeps is if you don't have the right information, these guys will let you go a long time. You know how you catch a billfish, marlin, or sailfish or something? You know, you wait and you dangle that teaser out behind the boat, and you bring him up to the top after the teaser, and then you let out the bait with the hook in it, and a billfish, it kills the game before they eat it, so they come up and lash it with their bill, and then they get that bait in their mouth, and you open the reel on the bail of your reel, and you just let them take all the line they want to take, and they make sure that's got that bait good and swallowed, and then they throw that bail and they set that hook. And there ain't a chance of that thing getting off, okay? And that's kind of the tack these people take, is that if there's somebody's teaching bad information, they'll let you go for years exactly like they did with Phil Marsh. And what they're doing, because you're teaching bad information, they don't feel like they're getting hurt. So they'll let you run and run and run until they get a whole bunch of fish in your net, and that's when they pop you. And they popped Phil Marsh, sent him to federal prison, and I heard that he died in federal prison, actually. Paul?
That's too bad. Yeah, you know, I don't remember what his method was. You know, all that stuff was of interest to me, but at the time I didn't need him, and I you know, I still don't need him. Which brings up, I guess, the second reason I was calling.
Let me just stop you before you get in the second reason. Sure. I'm going to add something for the audience, because he put a word into the lexicon back then, untaxing. Mm-hmm. His big deal was he was going around the country untaxing people. Okay? Now, that's about as legitimate a word as disrespect, which was never a word until Ebonics put it into the lexicon, untaxing people. So that was Phil Marsh.
I have respect, though, for anybody that's willing to take on, you know, the system, the established order. I mean, Erwin Schiff probably could have done a few things different, but he has, you know, my respect because of who he was and what he did, and I have a couple of his books to this day.
Well, they're collector's items these days. If you ever try and price them out on the internet, you'll be shocked at the prices people are asking for those things. Unfortunately,
really?
As you probably, oh yeah, and for especially the federal mafias. I think the last one that the judge banned. You know, it's the only book banned in America ever. I think is Earl Schiff's book.
Yeah, and the interesting that he. Go ahead.
He died in prison in a prison bed, and they handcuffed him to the bed.
Right. No. See, just all this stuff is just beyond scandalous. Again, I talked to the man on the phone. I first read his book, The Biggest Con, in 1979. It was loaned to me by a college housemate, and he had it because an economics teacher at, I think it was Santa Barbara City College where he was going, had the class read it.
So, really?
Yes, absolutely. So this goes back to 1979 when I first came across that book, The Biggest Con, and then later on I would read a couple of his other books. I never bought The Federal Mafia, but I got nothing for respect for the man and what he did, what he tried to do at his trial, even though he made mistakes, and the fact that he violated the judge's injunction. I mean, people used to ask all the time, and I used to try to explain it to him, okay, they got an injunction against him selling his book, is the way that I understand it, but he went out and he sold it anyway, and he violated the injunction, and that's why they put him in prison. They didn't put him in prison for not paying income tax. I used to always try to keep people's minds straight on that. So just indulge me real quick. I just got a little bit of rant, and then I'll get off. Because every now and I haven't heard your show in a while. You know, we've talked before. Every now and then I feel like ranting in general. And so I just tuned in today, and then I heard a call, and then I heard you talk. And I thought, you know what, I got a couple things to say. So Andrew got me thinking. Because, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, Christians chief among them. But, you know, they'll say such things as, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God and all of that, right? And,
right.
You know, I've heard this sort of thing before, and a lot of times I just want to say to some of these people, I don't even know if you really know what tyranny is. A lot of these people just don't want to pay, and I don't blame them, okay? But the whole idea, how about this? How about your own personal courage in opposing tyranny is paying homage to God, okay? A lot of these
people,
I don't think, really can properly define tyranny, and in many cases what I've dealt with in my life trying to help people with traffic tickets and taxes is people just don't want to pay. Some have a little bit more money, some have a little bit less, but a lot of it is not really based on principle. And I can't tell you, I had multiple times where I was very disappointed in my fellow human beings when I tried to lay out a course for them, a ground that I had plowed before, okay, and that I showed my own courage in dealing with these people, and then maybe I don't hear from them a little bit, right? And I'll call them up. I'll say, hey, what's going on? What's happening with your, you know, case? Or did you get a letter or something? And multiple times, Roger, I'm sure you heard it too. They go, oh, I just paid it. I'm like, what? You just paid it? Now, the whole time, you know, that I was working with them, as I knew them, they were bitching about not wanting to pay, right?
Right.
And I remember on one occasion, this guy said to me, he goes, oh, it's just easier. I go,
well, it is
way easier if you... Yeah, exactly. I've heard that before, though, and I bet you have, too. Oh, it's just easier.
I have heard it before.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And why? Because they got a letter. They got a letter. That's it. So here's my little chastisement. Here's my rant to all you people out there and all you Christians and everybody else, and a lot of you don't have the personal courage that you need to live in this world. And you're all looking for the road paved before you. You're all looking to feel confident. You want that. You want that ticket. You want that do not pass go card. And you look for people like Roger to give it to you. But a lot of you have listened to Roger for weeks or months, and you're still not doing anything. And many of you will hear him 20, 30 times, and you won't do anything. Some of you out there might hear him once or twice and say, hey, I'll give it a try. But in the end, it's you and you alone. You have to stand your ground against the tyranny no matter what. You don't need anybody to hold your hand. If you really believe in God, then just imagine he's there on your side. But he's not going to roll the red carpet out. I like to say this. God gave you life. Everything else is up to you, okay? And sometimes this world isn't very nice. And if you want to have principles, you got to stand on your own 2 feet and stop dilly-dallying around and take the step. When I started this, I was 20 going on 21 years old, Roger. I knew almost nothing. I gathered knowledge along the way, but I started out based on principle. Sure, I didn't want to pay like anybody else, but I started out on principle, wanting to make a stand, and I didn't know until I was 15, 20 years into it that, oh, it's the Jews. Okay, I'm basically paying a tithe to the Jews. I was born and raised Catholic, and that's how I viewed it. Once I found out it was them, I go, oh, so basically the Jews want me to tithe to their church of tyranny, and that just gave me even more resolve to never, again, participate in their system. And you're exactly correct. All you listeners out there, when Roger says it's presumption, 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 he is exactly correct. That's traffic. That's taxes. It's everything. You have to do is properly rebut their presumption, and there's multiple ways to do it. I think the way that Roger is doing it here is great. It's excellent. But a lot of these things are not that difficult. I can properly rebut the presumptions of the vehicle code. If they want to bring out the vehicle code, great. It's full of ways out for me.
Sure. Okay. Have you ever found, you're in California, Paul, there, I found in the Georgia code statutes annotated when I was in paralegal school. I had a roommate who was into this stuff too. And he came home one day and he said, go look in the official Georgia code annotated. And in the residency section in the traffic area, there's a sentence. They have two paragraphs. One, these are the traditional residency, you know, in the state longer than 30 days or 60, whatever it is. And the next one says something. And then in Georgia's code, underneath that's one sentence. And it says the term resident is a rebuttable presumption. That's right.
That's correct.
The code. Okay. And because the traffic codes are uniform, which means they're the same in all 50 states, that should be in your state codes too.
Oh, no, I guarantee it. We talked about this on a call I had made before. It could have been my last call, which was a few months ago, but absolutely, Roger. In the California Vehicle Code, it says, possession of a California driver's license gives rise to a rebuttable presumption, blah, blah, blah.
There you go.
But I don't use that one. What I use is provisions on arrest, because what they don't tell you, and most states don't want to tell you, but it's right there in the code itself. There's no such thing as a traffic stop. It's a slang term.
Right.
It has no legal meaning. It's an arrest. You were arrested.
Right.
So just look up provisions on arrest. And these are provisions that the officer has to operate under, and they almost never do.
Right. That's right. So I wanted to also add to what you said. And I can remember in those seminars when I was actively a student for John and Glenn's, and John, the teacher, would get up there and he'd say, you know, this isn't about taxes. Now, the whole thing they had was about taxes. Okay. Revocation of election. John's the one that came up with that. Okay. Still gets thrown around a lot all these years later. But he'd get up there on the stage and say, this isn't about taxes. It's about liberty. But the only way I can get the majority of people's attention is through the tax mechanism, because it's a common denominator issue and everybody's interested in their pocketbook. And so he'd get people involved, just like me, and I didn't understand that back then, get you involved in the tax issue, but in the larger picture, you're dealing with liberty here. The tax is a manifestation of the slavery, okay?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I go back to, like I, you know, said during the call, that, you know, if it's just about the money, I'm not interested. You know, we need people that when, you know, we're up against the wall, they're going to fight. And, you know, most people, they get a letter and they cave. And you know what? I got a file full of letters and I used to just laugh at them. And I was never afraid. And let's face it, if you're self-employed, which I was most of my life, all you got to do is not pay. You know, it's like a negative. Just don't pay, right? And all you'll ever do is get a letter or two. If you're working for somebody else, I just claim exempt. I've claimed exempt when I've had temporary jobs probably dozens of times. Never had an issue. One time, the state of California Franchise Tax Board got to my bank account. I had a bank account at Wells Fargo. And I got $150 and change out of my checking account. And I thought about looking into the procedures that I might challenge it or try to recover it. And I was like, nah, they can have it. I just, you know, I wasn't worried about it.
And it's almost not worth the effort to fight it for that amount, really.
Exactly. And other than that, I had no other negative effects from anything they ever did. All they ever did was send letters. And, you know, that's it. And I had other bank accounts. I had a bank account on one time at Citibank, at Bank of America, multiple times for years. They were just left alone. But, you know, you may have heard the Franchise Tax Board is much more aggressive than the IRS. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, I've heard there are really nice people out there at the Franchise Tax Board. I'll tell you a funny story here, Paul. When I was in Atlanta and first started teaching this stuff, I had some people that were interested, and one of them was this, or a couple. The boyfriend was Canadian. He was a chiropractor, and she, the female, owned a lab where you process blood and stuff, you know. And, boy, she was a type A lioness, this gal. And so she started getting into messing with the IRS, and they screwed with her credit report for her business. and a personal one. And so she sued Equifax. Equifax is headquartered there in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta. And so when you get into a lawsuit, you know, you get interrogatory and depositions and discovery, right? And so she's in a deposition with Equifax. And the very first question they ask her, does Roger Sales write your letters? And her being the type of personality she was, she got very indignant about it. She, I'll have you know, I write my own letters, thank you. But that was the very first question they asked in this case in a deposition. I thought that was kind of funny.
Phenomenal. I love that story. So how did that particular lawsuit come out? Do you know?
I don't remember. I just remember that part of it. Man, there's been so much water under the bridge in 30 years, it's hard to remember some of the details, you know.
Well, they're supposed to verify on. I mean, one of the ways that you're supposed to clean your credit up or challenge your credit is, you know, they have to verify the account. So I would assume they'd have to verify the lien or whatever it was that was putting a knock on your credit.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they did or the led up to it, but when she told that story, I got a big chuckle out of it.
That's funny. Hey, well, listen, thanks for letting me rant today,
okay.
Roger.
And, all right, Paul.
Continue on.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your input, okay? Have a good day out there in California. Who's next, Sam? We got another Californian on the line. Hey, David. Hello, David. Earth to David.
Yeah. Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Roger?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. What is it, some of the differences between, I forgot her first name, I think she's on Saturdays, but she talks about his advocates, state citizen as opposed to national citizen.
Well, they're the same thing. There is no opposed, they're the same thing.
Okay. So
all they did, what these guys do, David, is they go and get these major concepts like a state citizen, and they bring the concept forward and they change the label. That's all that's happened here. I can take you to three or four places in the Code and Code of Federal Regulations and show you in Title 8 where the state citizen's called the outlying territories. It's a territorial citizen. I can take you over into Title 42 in Sections 1983 and 1986 dealing with the Privileges and Immunities Clause of the 14th Amendment, the next clause after the first one, and it says the citizen of the United States is entitled to all the privileges and immunities of the white citizens. I hear we hear all this racism stuff, and there's Congress right there. Okay? So there's another one over in the Internal Revenue Code. It's labeled a non-resident alien. So it's all the same concept. White citizen, territorial citizen, non-resident alien, they're all the same. They just got different labels. This is the pitfall of our whole patriot legal community for the whole time I've been in it. They keep chasing labels instead of understanding concepts.
So anyways, because I'm not, you know, I'm not as far as some of the guests that called you. I know more than the average person, enough to go to jail, I guess.
Well, hopefully enough to keep you out of jail.
Well, that's where I'm going to the next stop, next place. So basically, back to that other host again. I forgot her first name. They're pretty much
Lauren?
On a similar.
Is it Lauren?
I think I don't know.
I think that's who you're talking
to. Website called His Advocate. Is that similar to what you're doing, though?
I'm not sure. She works with a guy named Kelby Smith, and I'm not sure about what all he does. I think he notifies a whole 20 different officials or something. Don't need to do that. You only need to notify one, the Secretary of State. And I don't agree. Now, let me just hold it, Dave. I want to say this because it's important. I don't believe in charging people for this. I don't think you ought to charge people for freedom, okay? Because then you're restricting the freedom to whoever's got that balance in their bank account. See, and the second problem is when you pay somebody to do this, you're considered it taken care of. You paid it to get taken care of. You're out something and it got taken care of. Are you going to go do all the research and learn the material? Probably not. So the only thing that changes, you don't. If somebody comes up to you and you go, hey, Dave, I heard you changed statuses. What's going on? Well, I don't know. I paid this guy a couple thousand dollars. So you don't know. You can't defend your position. You can't explain it to others. And when this information is really needed in the future in the rebuilding process, you can't contribute anything because you never learned anything because you paid somebody to do it.
Right.
That's my problems with it. Okay.
So where I go with your information and yours is just rogersales.com?
No, it's not there. You go to thematrixdocs.com is where the information page. That's the matrix and docs. Hold on, David. The matrix D-O-C-S. D-O-C-S, thematrixdocs.com. You'll find a number of interviews, a ton of sample documents, a lot of other stuff that's pertinent. You'll find it right there.
That should do everything, have enough information there.
Well, enough information for you to get started. And what I expect you to pay me for this is I expect you to have command of the information. That's your payment to me.
If I ever got helped enough and I wanted to freely give you a donation, that would be my business,
you could do
right?
That. You could do that. There's a donation link on the page. I've got a Give, Send, Go account, and people do that, and I appreciate it, okay? Also, if somebody really wants their hand held, I'll do a personal consultation with you on the side, but I'm going to charge you for that because it's my personal time, okay? But yeah. I give the information for free. I've got a radio show 6 days a week where we can have up to 100 people on there, and anybody can ask any question. I may not know every answer. I think we know most of them, but this is a total open, transparent deal. I don't charge you. I expect your payment to be learning and having command of the information. That's how we strengthen ourselves, and by having a group of people that have done that, we may, can, possibly, in the future, affect change. Whether we can or not, I don't know. This is up to the Lord, okay? He's got to open the door. But we've got the power. We've got the claymore with razor-sharp edges that these bastards are scared as hell of, buddy.
And you said you had most people that did, I mean, I haven't listened to you in a few months, but that went under your guidance that no one really got in trouble, and they stayed, right, or something like that.
Well, let me put it this way. You know, I mean, I've been doing this for approaching 12 years now on the air here in a few months, okay? And I didn't understand it as well back then, couldn't explain it as well. But people did it, and most of them didn't ever tell me. They just went to my book, got the 5-page affidavit out of the back, copied it verbatim, and sent it to the Secretary of State. They didn't consult me. They just did it, okay? But I do know this, and I have no idea how many people have filed this paperwork. I got an estimate, I think over 2 million is my personal estimate. But regardless of how many, most of them never. I sure didn't take 2 million phone calls, okay? But I do know this. If any of them had a problem in their life, David, because, and they associated it with filing this paperwork, I guarantee you they'd find a way to get a hold of me. Okay.
Right.
Because I'm available. All right. And I've never had one of those phone. Hold on, David. Hold on just a second. I've never had one of those phone calls in almost 12 years. I think that's a pretty damn good unblemished track record with these sorry bastards. The biggest, baddest, crookedest, slaving son of a bitches that have ever walked the face of the earth who we're dealing with here.
Would you talk to Kelby Smith on the phone, or maybe that's a waste of time, maybe, because you already have your thing?
What do I need to talk to him about?
I don't know, because I'm trying to figure
out. I don't either.
Yeah.
Because I'd be asking him why you're charging people that much money to do this for them. I'm not making a business out of this. I'm trying to affect change. That's the difference.
What's your book's name again, Roger?
From Sovereign to Serf, Government by the Treachery and Deception of Words. The link is on the website. By the way, we're going to have a new book out pretty quick. It's not a new book. It's an old book, but it's a new book. And this was a book that John and Glenn wrote when I was still their student. So it has to do with feudal system and all this law and the tax system, mainly because we didn't know this information back then. And quite frankly, I had totally forgotten about that book. And one of our listeners found it online and paid almost $200 for a used copy of it. All right. And we're in the process of reprinting it, and I hope to get on here in a couple of weeks and tell you it's available. The name of the book is United Slaves of America.
Wow. So what's the name of that, what you told me a few minutes ago, the Matrix, what was that, Matrix Docs?
The Matrix Docs, D-O-C-S, thematrixdocs.com. You can go there and find all kinds of information. You can spend hours and hours over there, okay?
Thanks a lot, Roger.
All right, Dave. Thank you for calling, man.
You're welcome.
Samuel, I'll see you later or soon anyway. Who's next, Sam? Lynn in Maryland. Hey, Lynn.
Yes, I'm almost embarrassed to call again, but I have.
Are you?
2 points. One, and you just hearkened to this, and it's about people charging money to expunge your birth certificate. And so,
well, see,
I'm
that
thinking,
doesn't make any difference. See, that doesn't make any difference.
Right. $2,200 this woman wants to teach you how to expunge your record. Anyway, so once you change your status,
Let me interrupt you, Lynn. If you expunge your birth certificate, it still doesn't change the presumption. The presumption is still in effect. Because
they
get the presumption from birth. The birth certificate represents the presumption with you as property. So you're expending that or whatever you're doing with it, but it doesn't take care of the situation. It doesn't solve the problem.
The status. Okay, now I have another question. Oh, I'm almost embarrassed to say. I went and got my passport, changed my status, and the day I got it in the mail, I actually had a car wreck.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, I was a little frazzled. It was a rollover wreck. And
you mean you rolled the car?
I did. Well,
you're all right?
Yes, yes. And my doggies were, too. But I didn't hand him my passport that I had just gotten in the mail. I handed him my driver's license.
Uh-oh.
Is that rectifiable?
You're in the thick of it now, aren't you?
Is it rectifiable?
I'll bet. Let me make a statement. I'll bet you hadn't put your local officials on notice after you submitted the affidavit for the passport either, had you?
No.
Okay. How did I know?
No. I told you, yeah. I fly by the seat of my pants.
You think I'm clairvoyant, do you?
No, you've just been there before. So, is it rectifiable?
How hard do you want to fight it?
Absolutely, I need to.
Well, you're going to have to go back and fight an uphill battle because you didn't put all those local people on notice and you don't have that registered on your side. So now you got to go back and say, hey, look, this is a piece of paper I filed with the Secretary of State and it negates all this stuff. Were you in an accident or was it a sole automobile accident? Was there another car involved?
No injured party, just me.
Okay, well, that's a sticky wicket, Lynn, and it just depends on how hard you want to fight an uphill battle, because it will be, okay? Because now you got to say,
I
meant to put you guys on notice, and I just didn't get around to it, but here's this. So, I get into these questions. I don't know what to tell you, but I do know that this is why I emphasize that people, when you file this with the Secretary of State, don't drag your feet on notifying it. You're weaponizing your position when you put the local state officials and local officials on notice. You're fulfilling the basic requirement of due process. You've changed your status. Tony Blinken ain't going to tell them. Okay? I can promise you that. All right? You've got to tell them. This is your responsibility to assert your position and weaponize it on the back end. And Sam's position is to play commercial interruptions and pay the bills. So we're going to talk with Lynn and continue this little conversation on the other side after Sam pays the light bill and gets us out. See you in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
All right, let's see if we can get back to Lynn here in the current situation. I sure wish those guys would make a machine that could skin Sabbatean Zionist Jews and make them fly to Pluto. You'd have a hit on your hands, boys. Lynn, back to your situation and your unfortunate little incident. Did you get charged with anything?
Yes. You would not believe one of the tickets. I failed to call in the accident.
Oh, is that's the charge? You failed to call it in?
Oh, no, they had a few more. But there was already a woman on the phone on the side of the road, you know? I was climbing out of my car.
Right. Okay, well, good pedestrians.
Is it rectifiable? I mean, because my affidavit, it was signed
Again, it should be, okay. But there was property damage, even though it was self-inflicted. Okay, so that's certainly an interesting category. And you hadn't put all these local people on notice where you can go back and go, hey, I told you that these residency driving laws don't apply to me, because you didn't tell them. Okay, this is for everybody out there that hadn't done the back end of this. The back end is just as important as the front end. So I suggest people sit down and almost do it at the same time, because you have a tendency to procrastinate, and I can't tell you how many of my students have gotten into this trap right here. They did the Secretary of State. They didn't notify locals. They got a speeding ticket or an accident or something. They're going, how do you undo this? Well, you got to go back to the fact of the base law with the Secretary of State, and you're going to have to come there and educate your local officials, because most of them don't know this. I'd virtually say none of them do, okay? So our job is not only fighting them, it's educating them, because they've been taken in by the scam just like everybody else. It's just like the example I told about Ron and there in Georgia, writing back to the Secretary of State on the election saying, well, this term resident, this has a technical legal meaning, and I'm not one of those by this affidavit, so how do I vote? Well, their mom there in Georgia on this. Hopefully he'll get an answer from them, and it'll be real interesting to see. But this is part of that whole back end of this little process that we've developed that's so blasted important. So my answer to you is, yes, you probably, I can't guarantee you success, but yes, you can fight it, but it's going to be an uphill battle for you.
Well, let me ask you about the mom. Isn't silence acquiescence?
Well, silence deems consent. That comes from Henry VIII's time. And, yeah, but that doesn't answer the question from the Secretary of State of Georgia. What category am I in? Because I'm not one of these, this resident citizen of the United States. I'm different now. What category do I vote in? And the answer is elector. But they don't want to tell you that. Okay. So we'll see how they respond, but this is the way that you can take the truth and back these slimy little bureaucrats right into the corner with it. Just little old Lynn from Maryland, but you got to have command of the information, and you got to have some. One of my female listeners, Lynn, informed me that you gals have breasticles. So you got to have some breasticles, okay?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
that's
the best
answer. Hey, thank you for leading me to Obadiah. I'm going to read it this evening.
Boy, you're going to like that.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate
you. You'll get through
it
real quick. Well, thank you very much, Lynn. I appreciate you, and I'm sorry you're in that predicament. See, I can help people getting out of the system, but it's these things afterwards that get to be sticky wickets, and it's just not my specialty. You know, I mean, I got some ideas on a lot of it. I've been around it and experienced it for many years, and I can certainly proffer some suggestions, but it's not my ballywick. I'll be the first one to tell you, okay?
All right. Thank you, Roger.
All right. Thank you, Lynn. Have a good day. Drive carefully now.
Absolutely. I stay at home now.
Okay, good girl. All right, Sam, who's next? Mike in Pennsylvania. Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Roger.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I have some questions for you, but
okay.
I want to tell you where I'm at first. September 22nd, I copied that affidavit of citizen evidence, and I got it notarized, and I send it in with a return receipt.
Good.
And so what would I be getting back from them?
Nothing. A mouthful of gimme and a handful of much obliged. You'll get back the return receipt. But that's all you're going to get. You know, you think they're going to, hey, Mike, you caught us slaving. Congratulations, you're free. They're not going to tell you that.
All right. When my next question is, when I send this to the Secretary of State of Pennsylvania, the health official, the
police No. Not the Secretary of State of Pennsylvania. He deals with incorporating and voter fraud, especially that one up there. You send it to the head legal official in Pennsylvania. That's the Attorney General.
Okay.
And you got a nice corrupt one of those up there, too.
Yeah. You had to remind us on that, did you?
I'm sorry, man. You keep running the like this. What's his name? Flutterman? Who's this guy running for Senate that's like he's like an old boxer that got hit too many times in the ring.
Yeah, that's Fetterman.
Fetterman, that's his name.
Yeah.
You got another Shapiro's running for governor. You know, notice the tribe invades Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's not good, but, you know, hopefully we can change that.
But okay, by the way, on your first question, here's how you get something back from them. And once you've sent that in, a cold affidavit with a cover letter, no, then you come in and follow up behind that after, I don't know, 3 weeks or something. Give them a little time to get it in your administrative file. I don't know how fast the bureaucracy works up there. But anyway, you send it in with a passport application, and you only purchase a passport card. It's $30. Just about anybody can afford that these days. And now they'll send you back a government-issued ID that's linked to your affidavit as an ID. That's what you want.
Okay. I wasn't going to go for the passport.
Well, why not? You don't want an ID that represents your status change?
Yeah, I could do that, yeah.
I mean, I would think it's something people would want, see?
Yeah.
I got students that the only ID they carry is their passport card.
Okay.
All right.
Well, when I go to the attorney general, the health official, the police chief, and the sheriff, what do I put on the cover letter?
Okay, at the top of the cover letter. These are the things I don't have a format document out there because I want you people to learn the information. And I want you to contribute something, okay? So I don't have it written down as a format anywhere, but I'll tell you. And I was thinking about making a tape on it here and putting it on the website. If I get around to it and think about it, I'll do it. At the top of the back end, in other words, this local notice process, to the attorney general, you want to put two things at the top of the letter above the salutation and the message, okay? You want to put lawful legal notice in bold letters, big font, capitalized probably, okay? Lawful legal notice. Did you get that?
Yes.
Okay. And the second thing you want to put is this little ditty here. Sounds like a country song. Notice to the principal is notice to the agent. Notice to the agent is notice to the principal. I'll repeat that again, David. Notice to the principal is notice to the agent. Notice to the agent. Then you just reverse it. Notice to the agent is notice to the principal. Now, let me explain to you what we're doing there. We're invoking the laws of agency. Okay? Any person that's acting in business, and government is a business, whether it's insurance agents, real estate agents, other types of agents, government agencies, they operate under the laws of agency. And what you're doing with this notice and that statement is you're tying them together, okay? And you're going to alert the head guy, the attorney general, because he's over all law enforcement in the state, in theory, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you're going to notify your local sheriff and chief of police, which fall under that umbrella of his. Okay. And now let's say that you get a speeding ticket, you've put them all on notice, and the DA dockets your speeding ticket in the municipal court. Now, because he's been put on notice and residency traffic laws don't apply to you, he's stepped out of his area of delegated responsibility. He can only work and do all this stuff with people that fall under his jurisdiction. So if he's taken your traffic ticket and put it on the docket, he's stepped outside of his delegated responsibilities. Now he loses his cloak of immunity, and he can be sued personally. And because you've got him and the attorney general locked together through agency, so does the attorney general.
Okay, do I also do that to the health official, the police chief?
Yeah,
the
sheriff? You can. We suggest that you do because they tipped their hand here a few months back in Washington State when they were moving forward with mandatory jabs. And, of course, Washington State's full of liberal wackos up there. And they tried to pass that law. The law was defeated, by the way. But they let their whole card show because they were going to basically deputize with the same powers or more powers than the local sheriff, the public health official. So just for future reference, it couldn't be bad to put them down at the bottom of that CC list. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to mail that to the attorney general, and then you're going to mail a copy of it to each one of the people that are CC'd at the bottom of the letter.
Okay.
So they're going to all know. If this is a great legal phrase here, David. They're going to all know, or they should have known. They knew or should have known. And you put them on lawful notice. You've done this by the book, dotted every I and crossed every T, and they better leave their stinking slaving hands off of me.
Okay, then after that cover letter, do I also send them that thing that the affidavit of citizen evidence that I mailed out?
Well, of course you're going to send them a copy of what you filed with the Secretary of State because you're putting them on notice of what you did.
Okay. All right.
I mean, David, if you hadn't put those things together yet, you need to go back and get a little better command on the information, okay?
Well, I've been listening to you every Sunday on this show. And
yeah.
Then I've been recently tuning into Radio Ranch, and I listen
right.
to you on there.
Right.
And I also got your book, but, you know, I would rather listen, you know, to Radio Ranch and every Sunday because I think I get more information, you know,
okay.
by hearing it.
Well, that's
times.
Good. Some people learn by reading, some people learn by hearing, so I understand that. Go and spend some time either on the website, thematrixdocs.com, and in there is a link to the archives over on CastBox, where we keep our archive. And there's almost December 5th, I think, is going to be 4 years of programs over there. Boy, we've covered a lot of ground in 4 years. So anytime you get spare time, go over the archive, pull out one that looks interesting to you. There's short descriptions there. But the show, as you know, if you've listened, goes all over the place, man. I mean, at the end of a two-hour program, I literally, when I go back to write the show description, if I don't do it immediately, I can't remember what we talked about. Okay? Because it's wide-ranging discussion, and it's totally open, and I absolutely require spontaneity and transparency. Okay? Nothing on our programs anywhere is planned or canned. Okay?
Yes. Okay, and then my last question is, this year here I'll have to file a 1040, but for year 23 I will not.
For year 22 when you file in 23. You're filing for 21 right now, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's true. When did you just filed it this year?
Yes, September 22nd.
Well, you know, that's a gray area because I don't know how the IRS is going to react to that. You know, I don't know if they're going to – I don't think they're going to come back. They haven't anybody else. You owe us three-quarters of a year in taxes. I think that they're so scared of this that they don't want to take any overt moves that risk bringing this into any kind of a public forum, to tell you the truth. These people are scared as hell of this. We don't realize it, but they do. I mean, you know, when I first started giving this information out 11 and a half years ago on this network, there was a little creep that used to call in and be the troll for all these RBN programs named Russ from Minnesota. I don't know if you were a listener back then. He may still call in, the little stupid little Jew bastard. And so he was calling in when I first got on here, and all I was doing is giving legal information. Okay? And he's calling all these other hosts. That stuff Roger Sales is teaching is going to get a lot of people in trouble. He even went to the trouble to catch John Stadtmiller in his office and tell him that on the phone one day. That stuff Roger Sales is teaching is going to get a lot of people in trouble. They've been scared of this since I first came on the scene. They know what it is. Okay?
All right.
All right. Thank you, Dave. I'm going to go on to the next
okay,
one.
Thank you.
Run out of time. Okay, buddy. Have a good evening. Who's next, Sam? Sam? In Pennsylvania, I think. Okay, let's get Dave on. How many folks we got in line there? Give me an idea of what we got left to work with, Sam. Okay, well, I'll try and get through them because I want to get to everybody. So this was Dave in Nevada. Hey, Dave, how you doing, buddy, in Nevada?
Yeah, how you doing? I've talked to you before.
Okay.
I have some kind of a little more esoteric types of questions about freedom with relation to money and the Federal Reserve note. And and the reason why I'm asking...
Are you still there?
Because
did you go away?
I'm sorry?
Okay, all right. Signal's breaking up. Go ahead. What about me charging?
Oh, because you don't charge money, and then you feel that charging money would make people not really appreciate what they're actually should be learning.
Well, I think there's a number of negatives associated with it that outweigh any positives.
Okay.
And I think anyways, you restrict the people. How can I restrict your freedom because you don't have enough in your bank account to pay me?
Okay, so with what you just said, so this is the question that I have. I keep, whenever I hear, I don't call in very much, but I listen to RBN a lot, and I keep hearing this idea that, well, we used to have freedom. Well, the last time I checked, we've been under the Federal Reserve for over 100 years now. So when exactly did we have freedom under the Federal Reserve?
Back before March the 9th of 1933, when we still used gold and silver as money. We had freedom then.
Okay, so
it's in the bankruptcy that the system changed, and the paper came after March the 9th when we were put into slavery. That's the demarcation line.
Okay, so all these people that are moaning about losing their freedom, they must be about 250 years old.
Well, they just don't know what freedom is.
Well, the reason why I bring this up is because I believe that the economy was much better in the 50s and the 60s, even though I wasn't alive.
It was. Well, but okay. We didn't have massive inflation then. They were still holding to the bottom line. They hadn't fully taken control until 1954,
right,
when they got the 1954 revenue code in place.
Okay,
That's when everything started to go cattywampus.
Right. So this has been my point, or this idea that I have, is that what people think is freedom, really, when they're saying that, well, we lost our freedom, they just had more money back then.
Well, they didn't have the restrictions. They weren't restricting the freedoms that they did have. See, civil rights are the rights that you have among the other people in the society. And as long as in the initial stage of this, they don't crank them down because they want you to get acclimated and conditioned into them, then they crank them down. Okay, but here's a quote for you. This comes from a guy named Goethe. You ever heard of him, Dave? Goethe.
Yeah, I know who. Yeah.
Okay, he wrote Faust for the audience about a kid that made a deal with the devil, etc.
Yeah.
Okay, and his statement is so applicable to what you're saying. There are no. Watch the adjectives here. There are none so helplessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free.
Free.
And that's exactly what you're talking about, buddy.
So
now, the other one, let me follow that up with another one that's even more telling. And it's from Harriet Tubman, the gal that ran the Underground Railroad back in Civil War days. And she said, "I freed 1,000 slaves, and I could have freed thousands more if they only knew they were slaves."
Okay.
Does that speak to what you're talking about?
Yeah. So my question is that does a billionaire actually have freedom, or does he simply have more money?
He just has more money. He can buy himself some semblance of freedom, but he's still not free if he's a citizen of the United States, because he's still under the presumption.
And this really brings me to my point. Do people, like in the last, the people who are talking about freedom, are they really talking about freedom, or did they simply?
They don't even know what freedom is. You hear these people calling them constitutional rights, Dave. The only rights the Constitution gives you is civil rights under the 14th Amendment. Otherwise, you get your rights from God and you get constitutional protections, not rights. The people don't even know what they're talking about. These are our highest profile attorneys and congressmen in the country that use that phrase. They also use the phrase, make money out of thin air. You know any bankers that loan tens of trillions of dollars without collateral and compound interest? You know any bankers like that? Dave, do you?
No, not personally.
There ain't none. That's why you don't know any. Okay, so see, our people don't even understand the reality they're in, and they're saying they've taken your freedoms. Hey man, they took your freedoms when you came out of mama's birth canal. You just don't know it.
Yeah, and the reason why I bring this up is because, I mean, it's because when you look at your dollar bill, there's a foreign symbol on it. It's not from the United States. It's from Egypt. It's called a pyramid.
Right.
What is a foreign symbol doing on a United States dollar?
They're telling you. Everything they've got to do to you. They tell you in advance. They're telling you on currency, debt currency you handle every day. They're rubbing your nose in it. It's what they're doing.
Because you go to other countries, and I'm sure they have their own type of central banking system. They don't have foreign symbols on their currency.
Yeah, well, they're not the world reserve currency, are they?
Yeah. And so I'm just curious as to what people consider to be freedom, and to my knowledge, when people are talking about it, I'm just thinking the only reason why a certain person would think that they had more freedom is because they got to enjoy the middle class lifestyle for a few years.
Well, I mean, that's
the white picket fence.
Well, hey, Dave, look what happened when Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. What did he find?
What do you mean, when he came down?
When he came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, what did Moses find? He found the Israelites worshiping the golden calf.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about.
Okay.
They've lulled us into complacency with materialism. On corporations that they own all the production of, while we're using money that we're the collateral for, that they control, and making them rich with it.
Yeah.
Dave, I'm going to hang on. I'm trying to get to these other folks. We're running out of time, okay? Thanks for calling. Who we got next? Sam, I'll try and get to him before we get off here. Mike in Alabama. Boy, I bet I know who this guy is. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Roger. What's up, Roger?
How you doing, man?
Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful day in Birmingham. It's not hot, nice and cool.
Yeah? It was a beautiful day in Auburn yesterday.
Oh, yeah. To let everybody know, I spent $100 notifying everybody. So y'all need to do it. As soon as I got my card in.
Mike's one of our students that drives on nothing but a passport card, and he's got a private tag on your car. Why don't you tell him about that real quick, Mike?
They keep getting stolen.
They're stealing Mike's private tag. It's so coveted.
Yeah. If they wanted it, how they had to use ass, I'd give it to them. Yeah, I spent $100 on notifying everybody from the attorney general down. Y'all need to do it.
I mean, listen, he notified everybody in the state hierarchy of importance in the state of Alabama.
Yep. When I sent it to him, I gave him a copy of the affidavit, a birth certificate, my driver's license, passport card, Social Security card, so they cannot mistake who I am.
Did you have any backlash? Anybody give you any crap over that, Mike? Did they?
None. Absolutely none.
I'm telling you, folks, they stand mute. You got a double-edged claymore in your hands. You just don't know.
Except when I try to buy cigarettes, they want to scan your ID, and I tell them the passport won't scan.
Damn, don't you look older than that by now?
Well, Alabama, if you look older than 40 or under 40.
I see. Well, now, look, you got some music playing in the background, Mike. You can probably hear it. So whatever you got to put in there, put it in quick.
No, that's all I wanted to say. Nothing else.
All right. Well, good. Glad you called in, Mike. I'll see you tomorrow on the program, hopefully. Otherwise, for the callers we didn't get to, I'm real sorry. We'll catch you next week. Back same time, same place here on RBN. Bye-bye.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN.